I had a tremendous experience with God through these angels again. And they gave me a passage of scripture where I could see and understand and anchor the truths that they were speaking to me about. But in this portion of scripture, most of the questions that I was going to answer were already written. When I read it, here they were. Questions were answered so beautifully. So I'm going to give you that portion of scripture this morning. But first, I would like to fill you in on just a little of this experience, because I believe that you're all a part of it. About just a little after 1 o'clock last night, I woke up, and saw that glow that comes from these heavenly beings right in the room. They touch my arms and get up, put on your clothes. So I did. Some things I'm not going to be able to tell you about. This maybe sometime I will be able to. But they asked me to come downstairs. And there, Gabriel spoke to me about the various parts of God's plan, big plan, as they unfolded. In each one, I remember so well as God dealt with me in that throne room experience, where he said that every day was the fullness of time for some phase, some part, some in some degree of his plan. But then his big plan, there are definite times of fullness when all of the pieces come together and a great worldwide or a national impact takes place, because the time has come. God operates on a very, very exact time scale, and it's all marked out. We can look back and see how exactly it was marked out. As we look in the Bible, the 400 years in Egypt, the 40 days and 40 nights of rain, the 483 years to the coming of Christ from the decree to build the wall as it was given to Daniel, and on through, you can see exactly the timeline was just right on, even to the number of days, times even the number of minutes. God's timeline clicked its way out. Praise God. And he spoke to me of these things. And he said that so often, because we can look no other way, and because the truths of God's word may not have as yet been revealed, and he emphasized to me again what a small portion of truth we actually do know, because there's so much planted here that God is allowing to be revealed as the days go by. But he said that we know that, for example, that Jesus is coming. But we know that certain things are coming on the earth. But we look at the things that we can see, which are the earthly things. We see what's happening here each time. But he said in reality, it's recorded in the scripture what's happening up there at the same time. And so he asked me to take a look at some of the things that were happening in heaven with their results here on the earth. And spoke to me about one such time. And many times he's referred to this, so I know it's important to God. When Israel came out of the land of Babylon, and they'd been there for 70 years, it was a time of great deliverance when they were going to their home. And but he made a composite of some of the things that are definitely occur when God's plan unfolds. He did make the statement that at present, you could mark this down, I felt it was so beautiful, that the world that has been wrapped in darkness of night is rolling, turning as the earth does to the sun. And it isn't that the sun decides to shine that causes the coldness to leave. It's that in God's timing, the earth has turned to that position of shining. And in every time when God's plan was unfolding, it became a very, very high, important time when the earth and mankind moved out of the shadows and into the focus, what God was doing. Now, he has seven things that he gave me. And it's interesting how that he, as in the Bible, the things of God are given in sevens. But he gave me seven things that we could look at that were present in every move of God. He said, although he did not know the timetable as far as a return of Christ was concerned, he did on other things. He has access to all of God's plans, but this one. But he did say that he knew, and it was very evident, the things that took place. Do you remember in that one message where I asked him concerning this, and he said that he could not tell me, but there was more excitement in the courts of heaven than at any time since Jesus came the first time? Well, he's made reference again to the things that actually have taken place as God himself moves into action. So he said, the first thing that you see looking at it from God's side, what's happening up there? God is taking another look at the earth. God is moving supernaturally to fulfill his plan, to bring to completion his fullness of time. He reminded me of that day, and I even saw a panorama flash before me of that great day when the believers from every nation, tribe, and tongue come marching in review before the Lord, singing praise and honor and glory to him. And in that great number on that day, in God's big plan, there are people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. He emphasized this to me, that there is a move of God supernaturally. God is bringing to pass the thing that he has planned, the thing that he has decreed. He asked me, what has your feeling been on the air of nations? And I had to be honest, I haven't given a lot of thought. I assumed that they were pretty well written off. Didn't you? These Arab countries? But he spoke to me and said, look at all those Arab people in this. They're part of the every country, every tribe. Look at them. Look at them in that number. Boy, I had taken another look. There were a pile of them there. There were Israelites, too. A lot of them. Hallelujah. This kind of stunned me just a little bit. It wasn't that I don't love those people. I just hadn't really brought them into perspective as yet, you see. But You know, then, the statement that he made, he said, you remember when Ishmael, as a small boy, was, he and his mother were out in the desert, and Ishmael cried for water. There was no water. And how God listened and said, I hear the cry of a small boy in trouble. He didn't say, this fellow, I can't help him because he's part of this nation that has come under a curse. Oh, no. He listened to the cry of the small boy. And he sent an angel down and dug a little well, filled it up with water, and gave that boy a drink. Praise God. Then he said, God has turned his ear, and he's listening to that small boy's cry again. It's a cry. It's a cry of men that have lived in bondage and in darkness, who have worshiped a God that could not listen to them, who were very, very dedicated in their daily prayers and their dedication, their devotion, but they're bound by heavy chains. And there's a groaning and there's a travailing among those peoples today, he said, as God has turned his ear toward them and is again hearing their cry. And he said, listen to this, that God has sent a force of angels among them. And that men's hearts in that country are being stirred. And there are multitudes of believers who have turned their hearts and their eyes to Jesus Christ in those countries today. Hallelujah. 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 Does this make you love God just a little bit more? Praise God. Like the nation of Israel, God isn't only dealing with nations. He's dealing with people. Israel, only as individual people, like every individual, must make their own decision, you see. And the nations and the governments can get into real trouble, and they are in trouble. But as those individual hearts cry out, God is hearing the cries. Hallelujah. He's hearing the cries of people that have been his enemies, turned their backs on him. But when God said he loved the whole world, he didn't draw a line around a little part and say, except that part. If he would have done that, he would have also had the right to draw a little circle around where you are and say, I love the whole world except for that spot where that man is. God in his fairness and in his justice cares. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So this, the first of these seven things was a move of God supernaturally to reach lost men by his Spirit, through circumstances, through hosts of angels, and through men who have felt the touch of God. The second one is a departure. As every time God has moved in the fullness of time and unfolding his plan, there has been a departure from orthodox ways. When God takes counsel from himself and says, I will do as my great heart dictates. And every time when God has done this, there have been people who have asked, why? God, you can't do it that way. Like they asked when Jesus came into Jerusalem, and those people were shouting. Oh, there were so many times when Jesus was eating the corn that he had picked on the Sabbath day. They said, you can't do it. But something was unfolding. And he did something in an unorthodox way. Hallelujah. And he's moving the people who have been written off. And he's drawing them back to himself. Oh, hallelujah. God will not allow his hands to be tied. Did you know that? He's got a job to do, and he's doing the job. And there will be many, many questions. You're going to hear a loud clamor of voices saying, hey, why? That isn't right. God, you can't do it that way. Look, and I'll find you a few scriptures here. God, you can't do it that way. God says, I know what's in there. But you don't know what's in there. You just know those 3%. All. Thank God for what he is doing and that we're experiencing. We're a part of it. The third mark of God in his unfolding plan in the fullness of time, those who have been part of this plan, nations around about, have had to admit and say, truly, God was in this thing. When they left the land of Egypt, the Egyptians, the nations where they came, all had to recognize. They even had councils where they met together. And they said, God is in this people. God is doing it. How can we fight God? And the world today is knowing, and they're admitting, that God is on the move. Hallelujah. And other nations who have not had our God are saying, truly, God is on the move. He is the true and the right God. Then the fourth mark that he spoke about, would that be that, and it has been always when God moves, that believers, or his people, are challenged with a renewed message. Messages they may have laid aside down through the years. But they're challenged with a renewed message of who God is and what he's really like. And they're telling the world what he's like. This message that God is a just God. And he's proving it. That he's doing the right thing. Praise God. Praise God. He's telling he is... Also under this heading, the fourth, that believers will not only tell them, but they will bring them to God. And today, people are feeling the drive in their heart, the purpose, that I must go and tell them, I'm going to bring them. Praise God. Last week, when Patty Roberts called me, she'll be coming here June the 24th, by the way, for sing for us in the morning, and then she'll minister, speak in the evening, or sing, minister in song in the evening. But I didn't know this last week. I wish I would have known it so I could have told her. She said, God has put the Arab world on my heart. Has God said anything about the Arabs? And I told her, no, not to me. He has in the Bible, and he has to others. I couldn't tell her a thing. But this morning, God gave me something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're part of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't this terrific? God just knows what he's doing. Praise God forever. Then, the fifth thing. That is that God's great decree that he makes will be executed to the letter. And that is that he will be known as God in all of the world. He has decreed it, so it has to happen. The sixth is that truth will blossom. He used this term, but I believe he means every believer's life. The truth will blossom as the blossoms on the trees. Believers' lives will blossom with the message of truth that God Himself designed the plan whereby men of every nation could be accepted of God. It doesn't mean that all will accept Him, but God has made a plan. And this is why John said in 1 John 2:2, that He has enough covering not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. So, this truth that God has made man acceptable by His righteousness, by sharing His righteousness with us, so that our righteousness isn't what we have been able to achieve, but it's His righteousness brought to us. And then not only the sharing of His righteousness, but the seventh one, the restoration to that place of total innocence. Justification. These truths, the work of God that brings people as He moves to this point. And as He spoke to me about this, He said, I want you to observe that all of these things that God is doing, that God has planned, all seven of them, are in operation today. He's executing them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, folks, we can't just sit idly by here and say, well, just a ho-hum, everyday type of a thing. Just an existence with God. These are exciting days. Hallelujah. On the job, in your school, wherever you are a beaming light. They're just pulsating. Signals going out all the time. Hallelujah. Make sure they're signals of faith and of hope for people. Praise God forever. Now, real quickly, I'm going to read this chapter. It won't take me long, but he said this entire, you'll find this entire structure of truth of what God is doing in Isaiah chapter 45. He was speaking here of the day when Israel would be returned out of the land of Babylon. And quickly He swung away from that into the fullness, the unfolding of God's great plan. Made a little more reference to that, but he was opening up the channel to show us what God is like when He unfolds His plan and His purpose. And I'm going to draw your attention to these seven things as we go through this. Praise God. Isaiah 45, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 5. The first five verses spoke of Cyrus and what God was going to do for his day. But listen to this. When God lets the world know who He is, I am the Lord. You see, this is what He wants people to know. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou knewest me not, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, the whole earth, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. God's saying the same thing today. He's letting the world know. Now He tells a little bit
here
about his credentials, how he is moving in to get the job done. We spoke of the first thing as being a move of God. God is doing it. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace. And in this next word where it says, I create evil, the term that Gabriel used to me was, I create calamities and crises in people's lives. It's not evil. It's not referred to as sin at all. But it's referred to those things that may cause them to stop and turn toward God. I, the Lord, do all of these things. And now, here is the message that God is letting the world know and providing His answers to the world. Listen to it. There was a time when He said, it shall come to pass that they when they seek Me, they will find Me in the day they seek for Me with all of their heart. That was during that night time. But now as the earth turns toward the sun, He is saying now, drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour out righteousness. Ooh, hallelujah. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. From the top, God is pouring out His righteousness. And from the earth, through the signs around us, through people, through circumstances, God is making the earth echo the message that comes from heaven here. Let the earth bring forth, let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Hallelujah. God's doing it. God has opened up heavens. We're seeing it happen right now. God is doing some things without even having to ask people whether He should do it or not. He's doing them because it's the fullness of time for something very special. Then He said, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd, or that little piece of that earthen vessel called man, let that potsherd of the earth strive, or shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Yeah, I've missed their line here. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd. In other words, this little earthen vessel. Let them go out there and fight with man if they want to. Let them go out and quarrel with others about what they think is right. But He said, don't try and argue with Me. That's what He's saying here. Let them strive with each other. But don't strive with Him. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou? Or the work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask Me of things to come concerning My sons and concerning the work of My hands. Command ye Me. I have made the earth. Wondering where you came from? I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even My hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all of their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up. Turning back to Cyrus now. In righteousness I will direct all his ways. He shall build My city, and he shall let go My captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, listen to this message to us. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, and the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabians, and men of stature, shall come over unto thee. They shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplications unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God other than Him. Praise God. You know, that's what is happening. We're seeing it happen. People are recognizing that God is on the job. Praise the name of the Lord. He's speaking here of some of these Arab countries, that they're recognizing God. Now he gives a little word against those that are in idolatry, but he comes back a little bit later and says, I even have some room for them. Listen to this. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are the makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it, He created it not in vain, He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. God is speaking again, giving His claims. I have not spoken in secret in the dark place of the earth. I said not under the seed of Jacob, seek ye not in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves. Come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, that they've gone out. They haven't had knowledge of me. They set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Now he's asking the world, those who know him, tell ye, bring them near. Tell them something. Carry a message to them. Bring them near. Let them take counsel together. And then he said, who's the one that's telling you this? Who has told it to them at that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? Then he said, here's what you can tell them. I'm a just God. Underline that in verse 21, the bottom part of verse 21. I am a just God. You can tell the world that he does the right thing. He's a just God, and he's Savior, and there is none beside me. Then he said, in this day, in this special day, and it is happening at the time of the night time, before the earth turns to the sun of righteousness that is rising. Before that time, men struggled to find him. They reached out. They had a variety of ways and efforts made to try and find God. But now he said, as this day arises, he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all of the ends of the earth. Hallelujah! What better message could you give the world than that? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. Give people a chance to see me. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Then he went on to say, for I am God, and there is none else. Then we come down to verse 23. God's great decree that he made, and that decree is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled. And when he speaks, you remember the words that God gave me that day in the throne room. When he speaks, an irreversible force is set in motion that nothing can stop. And God has decreed. God is controlling this clock right now. And he said, this is it. I have decreed. And here it is. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. The world will know that he is God. They will not all accept him, but they will know that he is God. God has decreed. Then, verse 24, and here is the proclamation of the people of the day that we can expect His coming, the atmosphere of the believers in that day. Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness. In the Lord. It's not what I've been able to do. In the Lord I have righteousness. And then he said, when that is spoken by people, when that message goes out, I have righteousness and I have strength, then even to Him, to our God, shall men come. They're waiting for that call. And today, as these messages have gone out by tape around the world, men are hearing, and a door of hope is being opened. And they're hearing the message that God has provided the righteousness for us. They're coming. They're coming. The message is being echoed now around the world. In the Lord we have righteousness. We're accepted in Him. The message has gone out. Hallelujah. Men are coming to God because the message is gone. Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
And then he said, even people that are angry with God have to admit that those who are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. And then comes the goal of what God is desiring of His people. In the Lord, not only do we have righteousness, that's the beautiful covering imputed over us, but also in the Lord you shall be justified. That word justified means restored. As in God's beautiful plan, to that place of original sinlessness. Hallelujah. 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 God is doing this. He's letting the world know where they stand. The message has gone out. Praise God. And this morning, if with your faith and your trust in Jesus, if you were to ask Him or remind Him, I am so sorry, God, that I did this, this, and this. Your faith is in Him. But there are some things that have come up. God would have to look at you and say, what are you talking about? The records are all destroyed. All I see when I look at you is someone who is totally innocent of any transgression. I see someone that looks like they've never sinned before. Hallelujah. 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 That practically makes this earth a little bit of heaven, doesn't it? Hallelujah. That gives you some heaven to go to heaven in when you know that the Lord has destroyed the records. And right now, you are justified. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Has this message had meaning to you? If it's had meaning to you, I want you to say amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God is on the move today, folks. He's on the move. And all of the things that He said were present in the fulfilling of the great plan of God are in action right now. These are the signs that He's taken right from God's atmosphere of heaven, right from God's throne. These are the signals. There's a lot of things happening on this earth, but God picked these out and said, here, take these. These are the things that are happening up there. This is the activity that Gabriel told me about and the excitement that's happening in the throne of God. These things we refer to right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just stand to our feet.
lift our hands toward heaven. Every person in the building, let's thank God that He cared for us. You are here today by God's planning. You're here. God wanted you to hear what we just ministered to you. Lift your hands and thank Him. Praise the name of the Lord. If you've never turned your life over unto Him, look unto Him, and God will bring that salvation to you by just looking to Him right now. Praise your wonderful name, dear Lord. Oh, how we love you. How we praise you, Lord. How we thank you. Praise your wonderful, wonderful name. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. By your Spirit move among us, dear Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Give us that voice. Give us the words to share with men and women everywhere that Jesus has paid it all. Hallelujah. That in Him we have righteousness, strength, justification. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As we stand in His presence, if there are some who've been out of fellowship with God, you haven't known Him, but you know today that God brought you here for this reason, that you could hear this message from God's heart, and you want to make that surrender to Him, I want you just to step right up here to the front, and we're just going to strengthen your hands and stand with you as the Lord ministers of His love to you. Praise God. Praise God. Don't hesitate. You heard His voice. Run to Him this morning. Jesus, I thank you for this meeting. I thank you for many, many lives that you've ministered to. Lord, we're going out as your voices. We're carrying the message of the Lord for this day, for this hour. Hallelujah. God is on the move. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name.